Paul would say, there's nothing that I preach except Christ and Him crucified. Because when you see Christ crucified, you see the Son of God dying for the sins of the world, which makes all the difference of everything that there is. We are in a sermon series in the book of John. And up to now, we've been taking a look at Jesus' life up in Galilee. And now, after about 16 months up there, which is amplified a lot more in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he goes down for the Judean ministry, Jerusalem. And he is going to be in a discussion with some of the religious leaders that were there at the temple. Now, when we look at the verses that we just read, I'll have to say that we are at the Holy of Holies. We are in the inner sanctum, and it doesn't get any better than the verses we're going to be looking at for a few minutes this morning. Just to refresh your memory, we pick up at verse 17. Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders of Israel who want Him dead. They consider Him to be a blasphemer of the worst kind. They see Him as a threat to their religion. They see Him as someone who is trying to undo all the sacred traditions that they had set up. And they remember 16 months ago when He had made His first trip to Jerusalem and He had entered into the temple courts. And there in the court of the Gentiles, the largest of the temple courts, at the height of the Passover celebration, when Jerusalem would be pregnant with a million people, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of them lined up, Gentiles, people from all over the world, trying to worship God and being impeded in their process of worshiping God by regulations that were set up where they would have to take their coinage and change it for temple currency, exacting a large fee for doing so, or buying unblemished animals for a way high cost. And when Jesus walks into the temple courts and He sees they're making a mockery out of the whole thing, He does a tremendous miracle. There, in the middle of it all, He scatters everybody and the whole temple court is vacated. And the Jewish leaders remember how the chief priest lost a lot of money that day. They remember this Jesus as a rabble-rouser, calling them hypocrites, saying that they're nothing more than whitewashed tombs, clean on the outside but filthy on the inside. And they want Him dead. But then Jesus doesn't back away from such confrontation. Just the opposite. He tells them that He is the Lord and the Lord of the Sabbath at that. And just so you understand that the heart and soul of the Christian faith, the heart and soul of the gospel, is a correct understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And that's why these verses are the holy of holies of Scripture. They are the inner sanctum of everything that we believe. Just to have us refresh our memory. Going back in the book of John to chapter 1, at the very beginning, John tells us that Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the God who has made everything, and nothing has come into existence except that which He has made. In chapters 2 and 3, the Holy Spirit comes to Jesus upon His baptism in the River Jordan, and the Holy Spirit declares Him to be divine. John the Baptist, whom Jesus attests is the greatest man to have ever lived to that point, says Jesus is divine. The disciples go and follow Jesus as one who is divine. All of His signs and wonders and works and miracles. Show him to be divine and to have mastery over disease and illness. He goes and talks to people and tells them things that he should not have known. But he tells them things about themselves when he had not seen them before, showing that he is all-knowing, divine. And now he comes before the Jewish leaders in chapter 5, having done a miracle, taking an invalid who had been infirm for 38 years, making him well, telling him to rise, take up his bedding, and walk, and does so on the Sabbath day to declare that he is divine over the Sabbath as well. That was the last straw. And so the conversation begins. Because we have to understand and know full well that there are some people who see Jesus only as a human, a good human, who has done a lot of great deeds in this world. And that is fine, but it is not enough. There are others who see Jesus as a great example of right living, and that is fine, but it is not enough. There are others who see in Jesus a fantastic miracle worker, maybe the greatest sage and prophet the world has ever seen, and that is great, but it is not enough. John writes this gospel that you may know and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing in Him, you'll have eternal life. And so, the question of who Jesus is becomes the most important question that a person will ever be able to answer in their life. It becomes the Holy of Holies. At this point, Jesus could have degraded the conversation to a dispute of what you can do on the Sabbath day and what you cannot do on the Sabbath day. He could have said, well, literally, I did not break the Sabbath law because his bedding was under his arm and was not above his shoulder. He did not carry it from one room to another, and he did not sell anything. So I don't know if that really constitutes work. But he didn't go there. He didn't split hairs about the Sabbath day. He simply said, my Father is working on the Sabbath day. He keeps the world going. He keeps grace going. He keeps judgment going, no matter what day of the week it is. And I also do the same. And so we get an opportunity this morning to come to grips with something that we can't sit on the fence on. Is Jesus God, or is He an imposter? Is He God, or is He an imposter? Because if He is God, then everything changes. Then what He says is real, what He does has effect, and we can become children of God by believing in Him. If He's an imposter, if He's a lunatic, which is a definition of saying that you're God when you're not God and you're running around as a human being, then all bets are off. We'll have to decide which one of the two is it. In my senior year of high school, I had to make that decision. I was going on for a degree in science, and I had written off God completely. I picked up my Bible in the spring of that year and I said, I'm just going to disprove God once and for all. He's a lunatic. He's a fake. It's all manufactured. And I read through these verses in the book of John. Either God is God who He claims to be, or He's a phony. It's all a fabrication. We just come to church to feel good, get a little something more out of life, meet a few people. Which is it? And I became convinced, and I trust most of you have, that Jesus Christ is the living God, has come to earth and has paid the way as a ransom for our sin by dying on the cross, and that if you have faith in Him, a simple trust in Him, no matter if it's the size of a mustard seed. It'll be enough. God will affect that faith in you and give by His grace, impart to you eternal life. So don't ever come to Jesus with some mamby-pamby, Mickey Mouse, wishy-washy, ineffectual notion that Jesus is one way among many. That's what the pseudo-religionists are doing in our land today. That's what the new, inclusive, Americanese Oprah religion wants to tell you. Feel good inside. You got a spark of divinity in you somewhere, so just any path will actualize it. Doesn't matter what you do, just be good to people, and God will bless you for it. That kind of comfortable Jesus will send you straight to hell in a handbasket. Jesus says that He is God. So let's see. If He's not God, then stop coming to church. If He's not God, then stop believing in anything like that. If He's not God, then eat, drink, and go on with your life, because tomorrow you're going to be in hell anyway. But if He is God, and if His work of salvation does impart eternal life to those who believe, well, then we need to believe it and to share it. So let's look at the evidence. In these verses first, He says He's equal to God in nature. Verse 17, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working." Now, did you hear that? He says, "My Father is at work." The Jews got very upset at that. Because if He's calling God His Father, that's something in the Jewish faith they never did. They never said, "Our Father who art in heaven." Only we Christians do that. To call God Father means you are of the same essence. What is of the Father is of the Son. So if this, He's saying, and so it says there in the very next verse, it says, "And they all tried to kill Him all the more, for He was calling God His own Father, making Himself equal with God." So it's the same work, the same nature, I should say. Secondly, He declares Himself to be equal with God in works. He says this, "I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does." So you got the paper clips. You got the Father clip. You got the Son clip. You got the Holy Spirit clip. And we're of the mindset that God is the Creator, and Jesus is the Redeemer and who saves the world, and the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us faith, and we compartmentalize what Father and Son and Holy Spirit do as though we're dealing with three gods. But Jesus says, no, not only does the Father save, the Son saves and imparts life. Not only does the Father create, but the Son creates, and the Holy Spirit hovers over the deep at the time of creation and creates. So what the Father does, and the Son does, and the Holy Spirit, they're all together in the same work. What the Father does, the Son does. Totally unbelievable. And so they say, well, I can understand you saying that you're doing some things, you've done some miracles, but you're not doing any works that are comparable at all to our God, the Father, who has created everything. And He says, oh, you wait and see. Greater works than these you will see. What was He going to do? Very soon, He would rise from the dead and be the firstborn among all those who will rise from the dead on the last day. When He returns, God's going to hand all judgment to Him, and He will be judge of the living and the dead. Greater works than these, indeed, you will see. So Christ is equal to God in nature. He's equal to God in work. Third, Jesus claims to be equal to God in power. Verse 21, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son gives life to whom He is pleased to give it." Now, what's the greatest power that you could ever have? Wouldn't it be to create life? And you think, where do we get life? Where did the little baby Gracie Jane Casson come from? Mother and father made the baby, and now they got the baby. Where did you come from? From your parents. Where did your parents come from? From their parents. All the way back to the first parents, right? Everybody makes life. Everybody gets life. But there is only one who is life. That's kind of an interesting thing. Rolly, are you around? I was reading the other day that they were checking some of the material, soil samples in Mars. They have further evidence of organic matter in Mars. Now, we've seen organic matter in meteorites. We can attest to organic matter out there in the universe in different places. And there seems to be among some scientists a correlation that if you have organic matter, it's just hop, skip, and a jump to having life. But if you go to one of Rolly Otto's lectures, you'll be convinced otherwise very quickly. There's organic matter everywhere, but there is only life where God imparts life, nowhere else. And that's why He is life. He is the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the uncreate, unformed life. His life didn't come from something else. When there was nothing else around, He was life. And not only that, God created all there is, matter and energy. You look at that wall over there. Isn't that a beautiful wall, that south wall right there? You might want to just gaze at it for about 20 minutes. Just look at that wall. Now, it doesn't seem to have much, a few banners, you know, light things, halfway solid, doesn't move too much, but you know that's all an illusion, don't you? This wall is shimmering as you look at it. Look closely. If you were able to get down to the level of the molecular, what would you see in that wall? You would see electrons moving at the speed of light practically. Trillions, trillions, quadrillions of electrons. The whole wall, that wall, is moving and shimmering at the speed of light. But we don't see it. Everything that God creates, all matter, all energy, all life, is created. But the power that God has and invested in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, who was at the beginning with God, and through Him all things were created, is that He is life. To prove it, a little later in this gospel, Jesus would go to His buddy, Lazarus, after he had died, waiting 4 days. What's the significance of waiting 4 days? In Jewish folklore, if you waited 4 days, the soul will have completely left the body by that time, called stone cold dead. He waited until Lazarus was stone cold dead before he approached Lazarus' tomb. He went to Lazarus' tomb. Mary and Martha met him, and what did they say? If only you would have come sooner, you could have done a healing thing. And he would have been made well. But you see, Jesus doesn't just heal. Jesus is God, and He is life. And because He is life, He will equate Himself with Yahweh God and tell everybody He is life and show it by imparting life to that which is dead. And so He opens the tomb. He looks inside. And there in the darkness he cries out, Lazarus, come forth. And out comes this mummy wrapped up in these bandages. Freaked everybody out terribly. Really bad. They had to take a couple of Xanax or something. Just terrible. And they unwrapped him and he was totally alive. And they look at him, and Jesus says what? Yahweh, life. I am life. I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In Jesus Christ, there is divinity because He is equal to God in power. Number four, real quick. Authority. Genesis 18:25 says, God the Father is the judge of all the earth. But in verse 22, it says, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. In Genesis 1, it says God creates. In John 1, it says the Son creates. The authority of God the Father is invested also in God the Son. Number 5, equal in honor. This is an amazing claim. Verse 23, so all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Now, look at this. The religious leaders of that day were worshiping a shell of a temple where the Holy of Holies was bereft of the Shekinah of God. At the time that Herod built this temple that Zerubbabel had started, which was a lot larger than Solomon's temple, and the high priest on the Day of Atonement would go in the Holy of Holies, there was no God inside. The presence of God, the glory of God, was not in Herod's temple. Back at the time of Solomon, in the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah, or the glory of God, dwelt in the temple. And before that, dwelt in the tabernacle. And they would look at it and listen to it and obey it and travel according to it. What happened? Where is the glory of God? John 1:14 tells us. It says this. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory of God was not in the Holy of Holies. The glory of God, the Shekinah of God, the same glory that was there in Solomon's Holy of Holies, is right there beside them. This Jesus of Nazareth, using hand-me-downs from the local Nazarene Target store, wearing used sandals, walking around with the dust of Jerusalem on His feet. This 5-foot-10-inch man walking up before these religious leaders, if they only knew. He was the Shekinah of God. He was the glory of God. He was the very presence that nobody can look at lest they die. Standing right next to them. And if they had only known, what would they have done? They would have knelt before this God. They would have bowed prostrate before this God. They would have reverenced Him and they would have praised Him and worshipped Him from all their worth. Instead of treating Him with disdain and crucifying Him. The Bible says the day is going to come when every creature will worship God in heaven and on earth. And under the earth, every creature will kneel before the Lord and glorify God, Christ, who is Lord of all. Everyone will worship Christ, either now or on that day. And so, we come to the part of commercial time. There is a true religion. And there is a false religion. The true religion sees in Jesus Christ that He's God. Other religions that do not do that are false. And at 10:15 this morning, beginning this week and for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at other religions that are knocking at your door, purporting to be Christian. And let's see where the evidence lies. Today we're going to look at Mormonism. If you want to know the truth about Mormonism, join me for 45 minutes, 10:15, in the church house. Finally, Jesus is equal to God in truth. Verse 24, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but has crossed over from death to life. You want to get to heaven? You want to be certain of your salvation? Do you want to be able to call God your Heavenly Father? Do you want to know that your prayers are being answered? Then it's not enough to simply go to church. It's not enough to simply go to a Bible class. It's not enough to simply have a Bible and open it and read it and study it. It's not enough to say, this is the Word of God. My friends, we've got to get to the place where we say, this is the God of the Word. That the very Word is God Himself. That Jesus is God Himself, and being God Himself, that He has come and He's become my Savior, and He has ransomed me from sin and hell and saved me. He's taken my death upon Himself and given me His heaven. He's taken my sin and given me His sainthood. He's taken my apartness and given me life with God forevermore. And all this is a free gift, not earned or deserved, out of God's great love. He wills to do this. This is God's love in sending Jesus to us, that He might have as many people as possible be part of His forever family and not suffer eternal death, but enjoy eternal life. That's where I trust we all are. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's rise and join together in prayer.